This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Friday, March 29th, 2024, Good Friday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Let us throw out some saints' names for you. Saint Cyril. St. Cyril, not Cyril of Alexander, the one we quote quite often, but St. Cyril, a Lebanese deacon. Never heard of him. Martyrs, Jonas and Barachias. These men were Persian monks. Never heard of them either. Blessed Quirinius, martyr, a Roman tribune. Nope, not that one either. There are tons and tons of saints whom we do not know their names. We should know their names. But unfortunately, we like to turn our heads from things such as what happened to them. For instance, the Lebanese monk, Cyril. They tore out his liver. They cut out his liver while he was conscious, and they ate it. Hopefully the man died of blood loss or something like that, but that's what they did to the man. Jonas and Barachias. Jonas, they cut him in half with a large, heavy, sharp rock. How long do you think that takes? Barachias, they suffocated him by stuffing hot pitch down his throat. And then Quirinius, the Roman tribune, the governing official, he had his tongue cut out for confessing Christ. Then they put him on a rack and stretched him. And after they did that, dislocating most of his joints, they cut off his hands and his feet. This is what happened to these men. There are also some Christian women martyrs mentioned today. And for decorum's sake, I will not mention what the martyrology speaks of what they did to these women. And to live in those times and to hear what you just heard from me, there's a quote that says, and these others endured unheard kinds of torments. You hear these kind of torments and they did things to other people that you can't even imagine. We can't imagine that stuff. We can't imagine that. That something like that could happen to human beings. And it did. Why don't you hear about those? Because yeah, just the situation of itself is repugnant to us to even hear things like that. But another reason you don't hear them is because, you know, nobody learns of that stuff anymore. Because you know why they don't learn of that stuff? Because priests now aren't required to read the Roman martyrology. They haven't been required to read the Roman martyrology for like 60 years now. There are priests who have been ordained and retired and living in priest homes now, or dead, who never read the Roman martyrology. They've never read those names. And those are just a few names out of the several. And those were for the last 2 days. Last 2 days, yesterday and today, I picked those names because I read the martyrology yesterday and today. And they just kind of stood out of my mind. Is it about them, though, is it? No, it is not. It is about our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Augustine says, many martyrs suffered such things, speaking of these people, but nothing is so radiant as the head of martyrs. In him we see more clearly what they underwent. Note well, it would have been of little value of the Lord to encourage the martyrs by word if he had not given the strength of example. Notice it doesn't say in our Lord Jesus Christ that we see more clearly why they underwent the torments that they did. That what they underwent. What do you mean by what they underwent? Not what happened to them specifically in each case, but what happened to them. What is the motivating force to do something like this to people? Not one of those people that was thought that I spoke of committed any crime. And who do we have an example for that? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He committed no crime. Hey, the pagan governor, Pilate, what evil hath he done? I mean, he exclaims this in this question. What? Why do you want him to die so bad? What evil hath he done? He hadn't done any evil, not one thing, and a pagan knew that. It was obvious. It was obvious that our Lord had done no wrong. But it was not merely an unjust condemnation. He was condemned for doing good. Now, they denied that, but all he ever did was good. You seek to kill me. You know, if I've done any evil, let me know. But you seek to kill me, and I've shown you a bunch of good works. For which one of those works am I to die? You made yourself to be God. Well, if he didn't, he would be lying, because he was. And he was explicit about the proclamation. He was killed for doing good works. Every one of those martyrs was killed for doing good works, for sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to people who did not know it. That's why they were killed in those ways. This is what happened to them. These Jews, our Lord Jesus, the great physician, he came to heal not just spiritually, he healed physically. He did truly cleanse lepers and make blind people see. There are much more profound reasons he did it, but he did do it. He's the great physician. And the people he did these good things for, they raged against him. They raged against him as if a person was delirious with an extremely high fever. People that have high fevers, they get delirious. They don't know what they're doing. And this is what these people did, but they knew what they were doing. They were delirious. It wasn't because of a physical high fever. It was because of sin and demon possession is why they did. It was a demonic rage against our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that for a fact. You know that the one who betrayed him was possessed by a demon. Oh, there are people, I don't think demons can possess you. The scriptures say they can. The demons influenced and possessed the Jews for whom this Lord had done great works to yell, crucify him, crucify him. Even when a pagan looked at him, he didn't do anything wrong. Why should I crucify him? That's not, it doesn't have anything to do with sanity. It doesn't have anything to do with mob mentality. It has of individuals being demonically influenced. This is what we're seeing here. And it hasn't gone anywhere. This is the application of this whole thing. Good Friday isn't a history lesson. Those martyrs' deaths aren't just a history lesson. It's Jesus putting you on notice. He's putting you on notice that people hate you. They should. They should hate you. They should rage against you. They do it all the time if you're paying attention. We have, praise God, some people that are involved in this church, and they come, and not just them, but the TFP comes here frequently. Ask them about the rage that is perpetrated against them when they stand around and do evil things like pray rosaries, okay, or hold banners for respecting the unborn. Several years ago, there was a high school kid who some guy was all up in his face just raging against him, and the kid smiled at him, and all of a sudden, the kid's condemned by his own bishop, he's pilloried in the news, and thank God he walked away with millions of dollars because of what they did to him for smiling at someone. But when that was going on, there was a comment in a comm box on a news story. Why aren't we throwing these people in wood chippers? Not just why aren't we killing these people, why aren't we throwing these people in wood chippers? The rage is still there. The rage is still there. Just this week, one of the Carolinas, I won't condemn one or the other, but it was one of the Carolinas. There is some woman there who has a political position, and they want to get her out of the political position because she's an extremist. And you know what the reason was why she's an extremist? She homeschools all her kids. The world does anything to throw gas on the fire. to make people hate you. If you're a homeschooler, so you put that, you tag that you know, that moniker on her, extremist. All of a sudden, man, she's probably one of those kind of goes out and kills people or things like that. Yeah, we're the ones that are always doing that. We're always the ones that are guilty of shooting up places and everything like that. No, it's the other side. But they did it because they're oppressed by these Christians. You can't win for losing. You're not gonna, and you shouldn't expect to. And you should like it when they don't like you. You should like it when they rage against you. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ underwent. This is what the martyrs underwent, and it is what we may undergo. And we have to have a heads up. Okay, and there are a lot of people who sit back and go, I couldn't do that, I couldn't do it. He's not called you to do that yet, and he'll give you the grace as if he does. Because nobody asks for this kind of stuff unless they have special graces. And there are people that get enough graces that do ask for it. This is Good Friday. It's not just about the history lesson of what Jesus did for us, but what he may call us to do also. Because it won't be the first time, and it's not going to be the last until he comes back. So we need to approach this whole thing in honoring our Lord, no matter what he may call us to do, for what he has done for us. Because when you don't honor him, you deny him. And whenever, wherever, or by whomever, our Lord Jesus Christ is denied outright, or if he is denied and betrayed by sin and or apathy, the cry is loud and clear. Crucify him. Crucify him. That hasn't stopped either. Every time somebody denies our Lord, this is the cry that's made. Every time somebody threatens us or is enraged against us, this is the cry. Crucify him. Because what you're in him. You're part of the body of Christ. So when they say crucify him, guess what they're saying? Crucify him. Crucify her. This is the call of the enemy of this world. And yes, indeed, we have them. And we should be happy for it, because it shows that there's a difference between us and them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.